that we did when we would go out on maneuvers, and we have many times formation.
In about face
and ministry,
and we're
here,
out there dealing
here,
with people,
we deal with quite a bit.
That
of
was the most effective.
So this is a class that I went into battle with,
or you can go breach homes with.
Very good information here
because
you helped us understand.
You had
people come around you.
You
had security.
What
that
you
was
need
the most
to do.
Effective. It's called the
we use the
formation.
King James Bible as our final authority.
Well, if you ever look at
that
animal,
is the final
we can
authority
learn a lot
that
from
we use.
Pastor
and many times
before.
When we deal
and
with
what
these
can we
Bible
learn?
Colts,
if you look at a rabbit,
and some people might say, Frank, that's a little bit
eye,
harsh
the,
to call
the
rabbit
size
on the
side of
think
his
so.
Head.
I think what's harsh is when they take
dog
prints and twist it and turn it to
what it's not. But a predator, his eyes will be fixed
because the Bible tells us in Psalms,
well, as Christians, that's how we have
the Word of God is settled forever in heaven.
We have to look around at all times.
There's no reason to take from it or to add to it.
You don't have that spirit of discernment.
We're going to see. I've been praying for spirit of discernment for like 3 years.
We're going to talk about
God
Jehovah's Witnesses.
To me now.
Seven
I believe
Adventists,
because now when people come
adventurous.
Up to me and say things that aren't true, worldwide
church
things
God.
Pop up in my head like
Church
that's
of Christ,
right. The Mormons.
That's not right.
Unification
and it took me a
church.
While to learn that.
Roman
because
Catholics.
When I first got out there, I was getting
the New Age
up to the
movement.
I didn't even
Christian
know where to
science
go.
Movement.
I Calvinists,
emailed
Mennonites.
Pastor Hoffman all the time.
We're
going to
look at charismatics and how they're divided up in different groups.
And thank God I had a man like that that I could look up to as a mentor.
And Pentecostals.
And him give me the guidance that I needed.
We're also
going to
look at a new movement that's arising right now that I just found out about. It's called the Progressive Agnostics.
There are three main reasons why
the Progressive Agnostics.
Something
why the church houses are growing
about,
in numbers.
I did have a conversation with a guy that calls himself a progressive
agnostic. Their beliefs are contrary to the King James Bible.
And how they
take
the wrong
doctrine
music.
And completely
they do not follow
music.
The Bible correctly.
And we're going to see why.
And
we're going to see where these
so
people
rapidly.
Are falling short.
Let's take a look at the
and
first
how,
reason.
What we need to do
the first
when we
reason
get approached
is because
out there, what we, how to approach
they
these
provide
people
answers.
They provide
and
answers.
To them.
It's sad
why
to
is this important?
And
1 Peter 5, says, be sober,
folks, okay?
Be vigilant,
I'm
because your
myself.
Adversary, the devil,
this.
As a roaring lion, walketh about
Christians
seeking who he may
answer
devour.
Simple questions.
That's a very important
and
verse
we've seen
there,
that.
Folks.
We've seen that.
This is why
I've seen
in our ministry,
down with people,
and
our focus
and
is
I
to
just,
teach
sometimes I don't understand where they're coming from.
To
crazy.
Know
dispensations.
You can take a Bible
and covenants
and change
and
so
Romans
many words
in Philemon
and a road
and
to
why everything's
like
go
a, over
like a feather
over
and
over.
Because it's important that
Romans
you understand
16, 17,
the road
very
Romans.
Important verse.
Okay,
you
it's
you
a
have
verse
to understand
that tells
it. And look,
us
folks, remember when Paul
to
wrote
mark
these books, remember in Romans,
doctrine,
we're talking about the road to Romans
to
and how people can get saved.
Learned,
but what happened in Galatians?
Mark them and avoid them.
They got off tilt
that?
A little bit.
Right?
Some people
they
say
start
well, adding works
harsh.
Back into the was equation.
It?
They said, well,
you
in order to stay saved, we have to
lead your family.
In order to be saved, we have to work at it.
So you have
so
to be firm and vigilant.
2 Timothy 3:16.
So we're going
to
take a look correction at other names that are associated with these Bible cults.
They're being corrected.
Some of these names they have been picked up over the years.
And that's what
we're
going to
take
Bible
a look at who
do.
Founded these
track.
Cults, what men, what men,
okay,
what women were involved since the inception of these other denominations.
1 Peter
3:15 says,
by
when and where they were started
in your hearts, and
we're
going to
take a look at some
history
give an answer
on these
to every
Bible
man
cults.
That asks it.
How they got
you
started
in
the major events that,
that
transformed that cult into what it is today.
And fear.
You
and we really
want
to
take a look at their non-biblical source of authority.
We want to know
every believer should be able to give a good
answer to any question of others.
Mature
because we
saints
believe
should be
the King James Bible
interrogation
is our final authority
regarding
but when
their
they get up
beliefs.
And they look in the mirror every
okay.
morning,
gonna
they're their own
you're
going to
get interrogated.
Final
but look at it like it's like a court scene.
And
folks.
We base
just
all
our doctrine on biblical beliefs on a King
when
James
you give them the
Bible.
Evidence, and you give them scripture out
very
of this book,
important. We understand
leave.
This.
They walk away,
but and they I've do not use a King James Bible.
Like I said, COGICs.
They use other literature
and other non-biblical books.
And once you hit
use them as their final authority,
they go the other way.
Many times those books are written.
We know it's about
grace for faith and absolutely nothing else.
They use other literature to support.
How many Christians can find that?
And that is what messes them up so much.
They believe in a virgin
because
birth.
They do not use a King
but
James Bible.
How many Christians
Bible?
Can find that?
You're going to get asked these
perverted versions
this is
of
the King James
down.
Bible.
These
Alexandrian
are the questions
Bibles,
I get asked.
Which clearly see the
blood
attack on the deity of the
it
Lord
said,
Jesus
said,
Christ.
Well, there's no remission of sins.
They look at their non-biblical
right?
sources of authority.
But
very important we
that?
Understand that. I'll give you a good example.
They believe in eternal security.
Some people might say it's
John 6:47, Romans 8:38-39,
John
10:28. These verses
what
should
they
pop in your head like
this verse completely.
Because
out
a lot of
your
people
Bibles.
That you deal with say, well,
and
I don't think I'm saved
believe
on the name
I'm sinning,
of the Son of God.
I'm living for
so
the devil.
Attack, a direct
but see, our God says you're saved
Jesus
forever.
Christ.
So you have a
what are
you
the
have a beginning but no ending.
Right?
We're Colossians 1:14.
In
whom we
have
redemption through his blood.
Every day we wake up.
And you know what they put in their Bibles? In whom we have redemption.
The second reason why cults prosper is because they meet
folks.
Their human
that's
needs.
That's claimed with dynamite.
They meet their human needs.
They provide love and acceptance and direction.
John 5:7
it says, for there are three
really
that bear
belong.
Record in heaven, the Father, the Word,
and
the Holy
you,
Ghost,
again,
and
example
these
that
three are one.
There's a place
of you in their
Bibles.
Have you in St.
They
John, verse 6
I,
and verse 8.
I don't want to say it was very fortunate
seven.
To visit, but I was
they
invited by one of my converts. He goes, please come with me, Frank. I said, all right, man,
how
I'll
could
go,
you carry
a really
Bible
want to, but I
was
that.
Just
to,
I was working
yourself
on this guy. I was trying
to know why
get him
I'm
to
not
come
our
way.
Folks.
And he is.
Please.
He's actually
not
a minister in our
let's
ministry.
Because
now
he's actually
the
started the TBD
study
Academy
Second
along
2:15
so,
says, study to show
he's part of the academy
a workman.
So
it's great, but a workman is somebody that studies.
I think I mentioned this before, but I remember when I pulled up with him.
Until you learn it.
Sometimes you have to read that verse 6 or 7 times.
We walked in, and there was this.
I looked like a 5-star.
But you come to the book.
It was
Hebrews says you come
Starbucks
with a contrite
here.
Spirit and humble.
They had a little bit of
when
music
going
book.
Here. They had food
you
laid out.
You don't come with your preconceived
like,
ideas.
Hey, what
leave
is this?
That,
I've never
leave
seen
that in
this
garbage
in a church
that's
house.
What
belongs.
Is this?
I call
and then
it
they have
this
big, huge
said
booth.
That before.
Tons of
I exchange
my thoughts for God's
thoughts.
And when God wants my opinion, he'll give it to me.
I don't hug guys.
That's how I look at it, folks.
That's just not in my...
That's how it has to be.
I don't do it.
Because his word is
they try to give you a hug.
And
you know,
what we're starting to see is a lot of these church houses
like, wow,
are
this is
catering
different.
To humanism.
But what they're doing is they're
we love
they're
everybody.
Appeasing
we,
the flesh,
hey,
folks.
I understand about
and then
love
they take
and
you up to the booth
grace.
And they go, well,
God
we're glad you're here to give you
grace.
A gift with all this
right?
all we all
stuff,
a
$25
but the fact of
card
the matter,
from Starbucks.
It has to line up to this
and,
Bible.
And they're talking to
this
you
is
and,
our
and they're sitting there saying, well, why don't you join one of
our life
groups
so you don't feel like you're alone.
So you belong to something.
And when we
they've
drift
got all
away
these life
it,
groups and life group leaders
you're
walking
get a
around with these big
you're
fancy tags, and then they take
I might
you and
not
put you in a, and
but
it's
I believe
called
every
the
word in
visitor section.
I might not live
right
it,
there in the front.
I believe
man,
every
you
word
right there
in
the
front.
Of
you,
God.
Praise
you're going
God.
And got this old rock and
so
roll
as we
music
continue
going
to march,
on and lights flashing, smoke belt.
I kid you
we're
going to
see
smoke bellowing down from the roof.
Yes.
One of the characteristics of
the first thing I thought about
on this board here.
But
again,
everybody get a hand up.
Ready? Did you get a hand up?
The
junior,
old pastor gets up there.
You can deal
yeah,
with
I'm
him
say
tomorrow.
Effeminate-looking guy.
So, we're going to look at three
they,
main
they
reasons
don't have a
why
pulpit, they bring
prosper.
A little table with a little chair. And he comes
out
there with his coffee. No Bible.
And it should be on
he
your hand
out there.
But there's three reasons
like
why
Joel Osteen on steroids.
Because they provide answers.
Okay.
They
I'm sitting here looking at this.
They make a favorable impression.
What's going on here?
And we're
going to
look at eight characteristics of a Bible cult.
But
and
I said,
not all of
them
have all eight.
Like no tomorrow.
But they have a few of them.
Some of them might have all eight of them.
But
we
as
sat
you,
through it,
as you
and,
look at them, you'll
and just
see
imagine,
it. And
I
as
want
I
you
go
to think
over
about
some
this.
Of the things,
if you don't know how to write
a Bible
divide,
cult,
and you're
not
today,
in the right
and the next
book,
time I come up here into a study,
you don't know
if
that's
actually
strong
going
or not.
Over each
you're
going to
be like,
cult,
wow, this is
and how
really
you sit down with them,
and
how
exciting.
You can open up your King James
something
Bible,
new, something exciting,
and you can help them.
And they're
going to
walk. You're
going to
walk out of there, and
that's what our mission is. That's our goal.
I'm going to join one of their life groups.
This is really. This is good. I like this.
I don't know
this.
Why you
it's
moved
like,
the board so far over there,
this.
And I got to walk way over
but
here.
But does the Bible say that?
Oh, no. After we got done there,
so we're
going to
take a look
at what they believe today.
Said,
we will look at their proof text to see that they
we're going to use this
believe what they
me.
Believe.
And
we're
I sat right
use,
there. I took them to Colossians,
our final
Ephesians, 40,
I told
the King James Bible,
16:11,
and reading what they call their proof text.
Took about 2 more weeks to realize he never went back there.
He said right off the bat that these cults are not rightly divided in the word
of
truth.
But
we're going to see that they are taking their proof text from
the
Alexandrian
Human
Bibles.
Need.
See, they
which is
trump
very
the first greatest commandment with the second one.
Bibles
they use humanism.
4:6, please.
They're using humanism so they can get into these people, so they bring them in. And that's exactly what they're doing. And what I found out that was really strange, I asked Brother Don, I said,
too
where
fast,
are all these people
down,
coming from? Check
please.
This out. They're all
Colossians 4:6 says, let your
so what they do is when people join the church,
grace,
they ask them what they do.
Sell,
they sell
that
cars.
He may know
they
how
sell
he
ought that's why they're up there, because they know how to sell
man.
It. So the Bible says,
folks,
let your speech
you,
be always with grace.
It's dangerous.
Sometimes
and if you don't know
this word
to go
of God,
right out there
it can mislead
and
everybody out.
It can mislead
problem.
You.
So a
when
lot of times,
was,
when I first started
we call
in ministry,
retracts.
I had no problem sitting
we
down and
saying,
you're wrong.
We get these people,
you don't believe
and we're
this.
Working with them.
I don't know that
we
person
work with them
well enough to talk to that person
they're
like
they're
that.
Saved.
You're just going to walk
but their
away
doctrine
from
is washed up
but you
like
use
a
grace.
Sandwich.
So
but
we just give them
the right
salty. And we just try to help them
you need
as much as we can.
You need to
let the Holy Spirit lead them. And it does work. The Holy Spirit will guide them.
Take your Bible, please, and go to Ephesians 4:29.
And when it hits them, the greatest thing that I love in the ministry is when you finally hit them, their eyes go boop. They go, wow. Wow. And it's interesting because a lot of times the way we combat a lot of this is when everyone
and the Bible
when anyone
says,
comes up to me and they
no
want to challenge me on
a King James
proceed
Bible.
Out of your mouth. But
I
that
say,
which
okay,
is,
you know
is
what,
good.
I'm not going
to
argue with you, but
to
do
use,
me a favor.
Of edifying.
I want to show you
that
something
it
in the Bible.
May
minister to
grace
Acts 8:37.
To the hearers.
Now, we don't have to,
that's
but I just
job,
want to
folks.
Say, that's what I tell
minister
them.
Minister grace
so
to the hearers.
Now, we might not
want to
go into
Acts,
respond
back,
but
we have to use grace. That's what we have to do.
And
when
you're out there soul winning, and you will be called a lot of names.
I don't have that in my Bible.
You're going to get attacked.
I said, okay, I'll tell you what. Let's do an easy one. Revelation.
As long as it doesn't become physical, I don't have a
problem. They go there. It's missing. But most of the times, okay.
And then here's what I do purposely.
I tell the guy to sweep me. I go, what is your Bible?
Who cares?
He's got a king.
He raises.
So we're to minister grace unto the hearers. We're not to go walking around with a Bible miss. I said, how much did you pay for that book? I hope you can get somebody that money back because you're missing some Bible verses here, clearly. But that's the sad part about it, folks. We should be, you want to be able to, don't be harsh. Use grace. Use charity, 1 Corinthians 13. But know where to go. And that's a lot of times you let them talk, and then you just got to kind of go nowhere to go with it. I usually take them to verses that are omitted completely out of their book. Even in some of the Sundays or the Saturday studies I got invited to where they asked me not to come back, that's all I would do is I'd go to these verses. And I'll tell you what, this guy, the Purdue professor, he couldn't find them in his book. And you should have seen his look he gave me. But again, you know, this book exposes the frauds. That's what this book, man, praise God. So they meet their human needs. The third thing is why cults prosper is because they make a favorable impression. Many times, I don't know if we make a favorable impression when somebody visits. I don't know. I know what I've learned in our ministry is that I don't ask them a million questions. I let them ask. I just go up to them, shake their hand, say, glad you're here. Is there anything we can do for you? I'd love to pray for you. And eventually, you let them ask the questions. Because sometimes when we ask too many questions, it can maybe make them feel, and this is one of the things, you could ask Junior, one of the things that they say is, you know what, some of these church houses I've been to, all they want to know is my business, and then they leave me alone, and I'm on my own, and everybody knows my business. Well, I don't know if we should do that. I think it's important for us to help them and pray for them and give them the right information, but I don't think we need to be busybodies either. I think that's one of the problems, and I hear that a lot about Baptist churches. I'm telling you, I hear it. That's what I'm telling you. You know, it is what it is. So they make a favorable impression. But now we're going to look at the characteristic. There's eight characteristics of a Bible cult that we should really look at. Now, some of them have all eight. Some of them might only have a couple of them. But when we look at these characteristics, the first one is that they have a new revelation. That's what they say. A lot of these Bible cults say that God spoke to them and they had a dream and it's only exclusive to them. Well, we know that's not true. This Bible is for everybody. The ground at the cross is level for everyone. Nobody's special. We know Calvinists think that they're predestinated before the foundations of the earth. But my question to them is, if you're predestinated before the foundations of the earth, that means we're born into sin. So you fell out of Christ when you were born. Bible says that. It is something that God told them and did not tell anybody else. They do not go by traditional doctrine, beliefs, and so forth out of the Bible. They have to have something new and exciting. Something that nobody else has. Some new revelation that God gave them and did not give anyone else. And they might have had Jesus appear to them in some kind of a dream or vision, or an angel appeared to them in a dream or vision and gave them some special hidden secret, some little things that they have and taken and ran with it, and they started a new cult, some new religious beliefs out of some vision, dream that they claim they have had. Now, how do you refute that? How can you stand up against that with the King James Bible? Well, Colossians 2:2-3 says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Now here it is, verse number 3. And whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So where's that hidden? It's hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hidden in God. But these people feel it's hidden in them, because they had some kind of a dream. Maybe they're on some psychiatric medications, I don't know, but they feel that they've had some kind of a dream. So the Bible says in Colossians 2:3 that all hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden God. God is not going to be sharing those hidden treasures with anyone. If you have a King James Bible in front of you, you have a complete revelation. It's all you need. God is not going to add anything more or take away anything from that, and you better not either. You better not add or subtract anything in this Bible. If your thinking does not line up with this Bible, then you better get rid of your stinking thinking. Real simple. Okay? That's just it.
And you better change your thinking to what the Bible says and not the other way around. Do not make the Bible conform to you or your thinking, but get your thinking to conform to what the Bible says. Amen? But God speaks to us today through his King James Bible, not provisions, not revelations, not through dreams. He speaks to us through his King James Bible, bottom line. Now, some people may have dreams. Okay, I get that. But when they start to say these dreams, God spoke specifically and exclusively to them, and now they have this new revelation that goes against what the Bible says, you need to check that. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, is hid in them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God of this world, who's that, folks? That's the devil. That is the devil. So the God of this world, which is the devil, has blinded them, which believe not. These cult members that we're going to be studying today do not believe the King James Bible is our final authority. And you're going to see that time and time again. They're going to be using books that attack the deity, they attack the Holy Spirit, and they attack God. The second characteristic of a cult is they have a new interpretation. Basically, that is a new look at old scripture. They believe that they have the right interpretation and everybody else is wrong. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, the workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, a lot of times their new interpretations are not rightly dividing. That's the problem. They're not doctrinally correct. It is taken out of context. They have no clue who that scripture is for. They take these passages and put them to their own spin on it. See that? It's easy to do. Folks, I fell into that before I came here. I was like a feather in the world when I didn't know until Pastor taught me how to rightly divide the word of truth, how to be in the right doctrine, how to be in the right Bible. I didn't know. And I went from the fundamentalist side to the most liberal Pentecostal. I was visiting every church out there. I was like, there's got to be one we fit in. You know, the old term, get in where you fit in. We all fit in this book. That's where we need to be. Rightly dividing is a key to understanding the word of God. The command in 2 Timothy chapter 2:15 is to study. Why? So you can rightly divide the word of truth correctly and not get mixed up. You have to understand what is being said and who it is being applied to. The King James Version is the only Bible that uses the word study. The Alexandrian fake Bibles do not use the word study, and they use try harder. Try harder. And without that command, study creates a lackadaisical point of view when it comes to rightly dividing the word of truth. This is why the New Age Christians and other cults do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth. In order to know whether a passage is written to you in a church house or church age, is you have to ask yourself three questions. Question one, ask who is speaking in a passage. Who is doing the talking in the passage? Is it either God, is it man, or is it Satan? Who's speaking? You must identify that. Number two, ask yourself who is being spoken to. Is it either a Jew, a Gentile, or the church? Not that hard. It's not that hard. Question three, ask yourself what is being said. Is it either a national message, is it collective? Or is it an individual message to an individual? This is how we should ask ourselves these questions when we read the Bible. Come with a meek, sincere heart and ask yourself these questions. 2 Timothy 1:20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. See, that's what gets them in trouble. They think that they can have their own private interpretation of what that Scripture means, and they mislead too many people. So Bible cults will have their own private interpretation, are incorrect. Notice it says no private interpretation. This is where the cults get it wrong. The Bible is available to everybody and anybody. It is not exclusive to one group of people. But you have to be saved to understand it. Why is that? Because we're born with a spirit, are we not? But it's like an uncharged battery. But the minute you become saved, that battery gets charged with the Holy Spirit, which will help you understand what's in this book. But you have to be saved to understand it. That's why so many people that are not saved attack it. They attack it because they're not saved. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. Not fleshly. Bible, we just found out last week, what does John 4 say? We worship God what? In spirit and in truth. Not in flesh and in truth. Well, today there's going to be a lot of flesh worship that I guarantee you. That's the sad part. The third characteristic of a cult is they have a non-biblical source of authority. A non-biblical source of authority. They use perverted versions of the Bible. And they like to use other books besides the Bible written by men that are not inspired by God. And they use that to thwart what the Bible says. Or they will use sacred writings that have been written themselves. They've written them themselves. A lot of times they will write their own Bible to make it comply with their beliefs. See, what they want. Psalms 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's settled. It's done. You don't have to add to it. There it is, folks. The word settled in heaven forever. And what is that word? The King James Bible. That is the word. So the Bible says there is nothing else besides the word of God that is the word of God. These individuals that have these different versions, the perverted versions, the Alexandrian fake Bibles, their response to that word is the word of God is settled in heaven forever. That is it. Anything other than the King James Bible needs to go in a circular file. Second of all, let us turn to Proverbs, if you don't mind. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Amen. And thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So what he is saying here is that if you do not put your trust in his words in the Bible, it says that you're going to be found to be a liar. God will protect you if you put your trust in him. You do not add anything else to his words. So if anybody goes outside of this book for any revelation or any other doctrine, is a bold-faced liar. Let them be found a liar. So the third characteristic of a cult is that they have a non-biblical source of authority. And sorry, folks, I have to end there. I didn't realize how fast time is going. I will try to continue this, and then I'll start on Bible cults individually and how we address them, how I've been taught to address them by our pastor and by Dr. Peacock and Dr. Walker. But I'll just leave it there. Junior, remember where I left off because I got to go preach again tonight. So any questions or comments, folks? Yes, sir.